people die.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
I will deliver him and honor him with long life.
and show him my salvation. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall hide under the shadow of the Almighty. Mercifully hear our prayer and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty to defend us from them that rise up against us. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Augsburg Confession, Chief Articles of Faith, Article 27 of the Monastic Vow. But although it appears that God's command concerning marriage delivers very many from their vows, yet our teachers introduce also another argument concerning vows to show that they are void. For every service of God, ordained and chosen of men, without the commandment of God to merit justification and grace, is wicked, as Christ said, "In vain do they worship me with the commandments of men." And Paul teaches everywhere that righteousness is not to be sought from our own observances and acts of worship devised by men, but that it comes by faith to those who believe that they are received by God for Christ's sake. But it is evident that monks have taught that services of man's making satisfy for sins and merit grace and justification. What else is this than to detract from the glory of Christ and to obscure and deny the righteousness of faith? It follows, therefore, that the vows thus commonly taken have been wicked services and consequently are void. For a wicked vow taken against the commandment of God is not valid. For as the canon says, no vow ought to bind men to wickedness. This is our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, from verse 1 through verse 24. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knoweth, in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice, thy voice, in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast in the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and by thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become one of us, as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is our Old Testament reading. Epistle reading from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, his second letter. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by appearance, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigning, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil reports and good reports, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. So far, the epistle reading. The gospel reading is from the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, reading from verse 1 through verse 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into
Our text this morning is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Please be seated. Lent, we are familiar with as a penitential season developed by the church and patterned after the 40 days of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. On Ash Wednesday, Pastor Peterson reminded us in his Ash Wednesday sermon that the 40 days of Easter don't include the Sundays. At seminary, we were taught that they are the Sundays in Lent, not the Sundays of Lent. On this first Sunday in Lent, it seems to me that we would do well to consider how Jesus' temptation in the wilderness has to do with repentance. And just what is repentance? Interesting, the pericopes chosen for today, that full chapter from Genesis that records the fall of the first man, and then this temptation of Jesus by the devil, having been led out by the Holy Spirit for that purpose. Paul writes, "By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." Adam knew God face to face, got the word of God straight from God himself. And yet, denied, doubted, when tempted, "Did God really say?" And he fell. And so all human beings since, except one, of course, the one who we read this morning was drawn out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Did God really say? "It stands written," says Jesus. "It stands written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God.'" So then he leads him to the pinnacle of the temple, quotes scripture, by the way, Psalm 91, "He will give his angels charge over you, and they shall hold you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone," and says, "Cast yourself down." Martin Luther says that the devil does not succeed in robbing us of our confidence in God. He'll go to the other extreme and try to make us cocksure and much too daring. Have us test God. And then, of course, on the high mountain, showing him all the wealth of the world and saying, "These I will give to you All you gotta do is bow down and worship me.
We're familiar with that temptation, are we not? Mammon, Scripture calls it. But Jesus, God and man in human flesh, as a man, relies on the written word of God. It is written all three times, his response. It is written. And while it's tempting to say he's our example there, showing us to turn to the Scripture when we're tempted, and that is a good idea, of course, but he's not doing this as an example to tell us what to do. Paul writes, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. He's doing this in our stead. Theologians call this his active obedience. He carries out the law throughout his life that he may give us that righteousness instead of our sinfulness. I love the proper preface. As we begin the service of the sacrament, we always begin with a preface. And there's always a different one for each season of the year. Soon you will hear in the proper preface for Lent, Almighty everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross did give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree be overcome. There we have what theologians call his passive obedience, where he suffers the result of our sin. The cross is for us. So what about the temptations we face? We can list many. Most of you are familiar, and those three that he tempted Jesus with, we too, of course, are tempted. We are tempted probably most to trust reason, human reason, rather than the Word of God. Did God really say it? But that leads us to the question I mentioned earlier. What is repentance? Jesus, in Matthew's gospel here, came from his baptism where he heard from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Temptation in the wilderness, and then just a few verses on, Matthew summarizes Jesus' ministry by saying he began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Just what is repentance? We read a little while ago from the Augsburg Confession about vows. Let me read you the definition of repentance from the Augsburg Confession.
Now, strictly speaking, repentance consists of two parts. One part is contrition, that is, terrors striking the conscience through the knowledge of sin. The other part is faith, which is born of the gospel, or the absolution, and believes that for Christ's sake, sins are forgiven. It comforts the conscience and delivers it from terror. Then good works are bound to follow, which are the fruit of repentance. Repentance is not some service we do God. It is our recognition that all too often we fail to temptation. It is our recognition that we know full well from judging our own selves, I'm not what I would like to be, never have been. But it's that with faith that in Christ we are forgiven. Faith comes through hearing, hearing by the word of God. That word that Christ himself, battling temptation, clung to in its written form. Faith comes through hearing. How about this? In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So, what do? How do we live in this state called repentance? Well, our power there, of course, comes from the Word. I love what Dr. Luther writes in the Small Called Articles, Article 4. He says, "We will now return to the gospel, does not give us counsel and aid against sin in only one way. God is superabundantly generous in his grace, first through the spoken word by which the forgiveness of sins is preached in the whole world. This is the particular office of the gospel. Second, through baptism. Third, through the holy sacrament of the altar. Fourth, through the power of the keys. Also through the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren, where two or three are gathered," and other such verses. Superabundantly generous. Baptism. Baptized into faith. Baptism now saves us. The Word of God made visible by the sacraments. We will soon receive the gift of his body and blood. We have already made confession and received his absolution. And there is the conversation and consolation of the brethren. You see what Luther has described here? The Holy Christian Church on earth. Where it is that we receive the forgiveness of sins and his gifts. The night Jesus was arrested in what is known as his high priestly prayer, he prayed for those with him in the room and for us, his followers of all time.
sanctify them in the truth. He prays to the Father, Thy word is truth. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Refresh them and to give them rest unto their souls. We pray thee, let these guests experience thy love
at the heavenly feast, which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth.
Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation.
Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purged with thy blood.
Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us, for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
On the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. Jesus Christ. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The blood of Christ, shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you, steadfast in the one true faith of the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Thank you. our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Lift up his countenance.